any, well, maybe we ought to do it this way. And God, have you thought about it like this? Because all of the things that Joshua had seen, though some of them were wonderful, I mean, just can you imagine? But think about some of the horrors that he saw. How many of you remember reading in Scripture the rebellion against Moses? Not on just one occasion. People would rebel against Moses and against God and the things God wanted to do. And one time God sent serpents to bite the people and make them sick. And so many of them would get sick and then they would die. And they began to complain again. And so Moses went to God on their behalf and he said, okay, this is what you do. You take a bronze serpent, you put together a bronze serpent with two facing heads, you put it on top of a pole and you walk out among the people and you tell those that are sick, if they just look at this bronze serpent, they'll be healed. And how many of them do you think said, I can't believe this nonsense now? This just doesn't make any sense. Moses went from okay to bad. Now he's off the deep end, y'all. How many of them do you think they had their own doctors coming in and trying to treat them and they were still dying? Whatever little bit of something they had, they were giving away to someone to heal them. And God gave them the answer and they would not look at the serpent on the pole. You know, Jesus said, like Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, you will lift the Son of Man. And he tells us that we have to look upon him. We have to look upon the cross and what it means. And through that we understand God's sacrifice and willingness to forgive and redeem a people who don't deserve it. But if they will just look to Jesus and seek forgiveness of sins, they can be healed for eternity. Eternal life. And so many people look at it and say, well, I've got a psychiatrist. They give me better drugs than that. And they won't turn to Christ no matter what you give to them or plead with them about. They just won't do it. It doesn't make sense. I can't explain it. I can explain Christ. I can explain his love. I can't explain why people reject and refuse. Any more than I can explain why the people refused to go into the promised land after God had just led them out of Egypt with such miraculous signs. Why the people rebelled against Moses in the wilderness. Not just that once, but then a whole crowd of them got together and they said, Moses, you've been servant long enough. We need a new leader. It's time for leadership change. Y'all know, right? We vote on different presidents every 4 years. So we can talk about leadership change. We can talk about what people expect and why we have elections and why we have this and that and debates and all kinds of things. But with God, you know what? When God appoints a leader over his people, he doesn't say this is up for debate. Moses wasn't there for them to be debating over whether he had been doing it long enough. He was too old. How many of you in here would love for somebody to come up and tell you, you're too old? You're too old. We need fresh ideas. We need young folk. Now, those things are always good. But whether it's old or whether it's young, it still has to comply with the will of God, doesn't it? Those people, they gathered up crowds and entire families. You remember Korah? Came before Moses and said, it's time for a change. And Moses says, okay, I'll let God decide between us. And they met the next day and the ground opened up and swallowed entire families. Took them. God said, I'll show you. This is the debate, start and finish. What have you got to say? We want a new leader. Ground opened up. And that was the end of the debate. No more said. No more could be said. But people began to fear God again. Why is it that God has to take such actions in the life of people before they remember to fear him for who he is? Why is it that even today with us as Christians, we have no fear for God because we have so much concern for self. Joshua was becoming leader. Change was happening. And he says, don't be dismayed. Now, you know Joshua has seen all of this. Can't you think of the things running through his mind? Boy, these people, are they going to follow me? Are they going to rebel against me the way they did with Moses? But God has already given him assurances. Look at that in verse number 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. I'm with you. In all of your life experience, no matter what the good or the bad is, if you can see God walking with you through it all and getting you to the other side, especially the times of trial and tribulation, then do not be dismayed. God is with you. Only remember who He is. Sometimes we bring trials upon ourselves, don't we? Do we think that we can bend God's will to ours? Because I want to tell you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. God will not respond except to open up the ground. Except to open up the ground. Change comes. Change happens. Are we ready for these things? Because every day that we wake up is a new day. You ought to expect there's going to be something different. I mean, it might look the same, it might dress up the same, but there's going to be something different, isn't it? You're not eating manna 7 days a week, are you? Yeah. Something is going to be different. Something is going to change. But when it becomes leadership change, then that involves more than just ourselves. It involves the entire group, the entire corporate body, the entire nation. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. He's encouraging Joshua. Remember who's by your side. I am by your side. And those first two words were, I am. That's God speaking. I am by your side. And we say it all the time, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But do we understand it? Do we believe in it? Do we walk in that kind of faith? Because He's telling us to. But be walking with a mind of understanding about the steps you are taking and where they might lead. Because even though He's encouraging Joshua, look what He says next. Verse number 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to give to their fathers. I'll give it to them. But be strong and courageous. Be of good courage. He is saying to Joshua, be strong and be of good courage before the enemies ahead. How many of you know that when Joshua crossed over the Jordan with all of the people, that those on the other side who owned the land weren't just going to walk away and let them have it? I mean, how many of us are willing to give up space now, right? Nobody's going to take my space. You can't invade my space. We're just talking about this little area right here. You're in my space. What about you want to go in and take somebody's home? Oh, no, I got something waiting for you. You want to come take my home? I mean, we understand the concept of fighting for the things that we have to have in life and the promises of God in life. God had promised this land centuries before to Abraham. and is now about to fulfill that through Joshua. And Joshua is the one who's going to divide the land as an inheritance. But Joshua is not going to walk over and hand him a piece of paper saying, "You are evicted." That's not going to happen. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be a war. There will be blood that will be spilt. Be strong and of good courage. I am with you. Do you feel like sometimes in life today God tells us to take steps out into the world that put us in a dangerous path? Be strong and be courageous. Be of good courage. Know that God is with you. If you're taking the steps on your own, then I would worry a little bit. But if you know God is sending you on that mission, walk in faith. Because God is with you. If you're walking off on your own and you're going to settle this because, "Hey, I got it, God. I got this worked out. I've got it figured out." You might get out there and find the ground opens up under you. Because God never sent you to do that. And sometimes we can find ourselves in peril because of our own decisions, can't we? Anybody in here ever found themselves in a dangerous spot because of a bad decision? Now, I'm not asking for testimony. Because I know you don't have to tell me. Every one of us in here have made bad decisions in our life. And sometimes those bad decisions have cost us more than we were wanting to pay, but still had to pay. Sometimes we got off lighter than we thought we should have. But bad decisions come with consequences, don't they? Not good consequences, bad consequences. And when we're making bad decisions against God and His will for our life, then we need to expect some serious consequence from God. Because God will chastise the people He loves. He will. He won't abandon them, but He might make them feel like they've been abandoned. He might make them feel like they've been stung by a serpent. He might make them feel like it's 40 years and they haven't gotten anywhere in life. But He still provided everything they needed. Because you have to remember to see those things, what God has done. Why am I in this desert? Because I chose to be. Why am I eating manna 7 days a week? Because this is the result of my decision. But God is still helping me. He's still providing for me. He's still with me. And there is still another side. Eventually, you do get to cross to the other side, just like the nation of Israel. Under new leadership, under a man who has seen both the good and the bad of being over this hard-headed people. I mean, if there's a hard-headed group of people in the world, don't you think it's Israel? Don't y'all think it would be Israel? If I wanted to pass out ballots today and ask you to vote on a nation that's got the most hard-headed people in it, who would you vote for? I'm voting for Israel. That's the top of the list. If you know anything about Israel, you got to know they're a hard-headed bunch of folks. God is still with them, and He's sending Joshua ahead of them to lead them. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, because God is with you. And then He reinforces this. In verse number 7, He says, only be strong and very courageous. So He's going from being strong and of good courage to being strong and very courageous. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You see, God is telling Joshua, to be strong and of good courage before enemies that they will face. But He's saying, be strong and very courageous when you have to face yourself. and your families and your neighbors. Because this is when it gets the hardest to serve God. Why do you think he puts more emphasis on this? Only be strong and very courageous, dealing with the teachings of God. Don't turn from them to the right hand or to the left, so that you can prosper. Stay on the straight and the narrow. And if I follow the straight and the narrow, then I know it's God's words and it's God's will. Your words are a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. So why am I searching for guidance anywhere else other than God's words? From anyone other than God? Because I am asking for calamity. I'm asking for consequences that come from bad decisions. Joshua sent out spies into the land. And they came back and they said, "Oh, that's just a small group of people out there. We don't need to send more than 2,000 or 3,000 folks out there. We can handle this, no problem." Only some of the spies had brought back some goods that were outlawed by God. They brought back cloth and they brought back silver and gold and they buried it under their tent, under everything, laid their tarps down over it and hid it in the tent. And then when the soldiers went out, the 3,000, they went out. Those few men in that city they were trying to conquer chased them away, killed 30 some odd of them. They went running back to Joshua. Can't you see it? And Joshua's like, "Lord, you said you were with us. What is going on? What is happening?" Understand Joshua's position. He's trying to do what God tells him to do. He just did, and God just punished the people. Now he's thinking, "Oh God, something's happening. I don't know why. Now the people are mad at me. You're mad, now the people are mad. They want to know what's going on. How do I deal with this?" God said, "You find the sin in the camp and you get rid of it. You find the sin within the camp and you get rid of it." Now, in our lives today, we bury sin in our lives. We bury it. Just like Achan buried that outlawed material under the canvas of his tent floor. We bury hatred. We bury rebellion. We bury covetousness. We bury gossip. We bury all of the things that God tells us we should not have in our life as a believer, a faithful believer, and a person that walks before the whole world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and spreading all of this other stuff and collecting what we can and burying it in our tent. And we want to know why God has turned against us. Because sin in the camp must be removed. And I remind you, he said to Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous. Because the backlash is going to be something. You're going to have to face your own folks. You might even have to face yourself." This is the same Joshua that called out to God and had the sun stands still in the sky. But after sin from the camp was removed. So Joshua began to search for that sin and he found that family and he brought them in and he admitted, Achan said, "I did it. I went out, I saw these things. I wasn't supposed to have them, but I really wanted it." How many of you ever wanted something that bad? "Oh gosh, I really wanted that. I've seen, you know, there's a movie, I can't remember where it is now, but there's a comment in the movie. Well, what if I want it more than they want it? No, it's still breaking the law. But no, if I really want it more than them, no, it's still breaking the law." You ever felt like that? "But they don't want it. Look, they don't even use it. I need it. I'm just going to take it. Bring it on in." Buried in the tent. I'll hide it. Nobody will know I got it. I'll use it privately. How about that? We don't have to tell the whole world. You see, it doesn't matter what you bury under the floor of your tent. God sees it, whether your neighbor does or not. And God says it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to be confessed. It's got to be removed. It's got to be dealt with. Now, Joshua, he called Achan in and he admitted to it. And he got Achan and all of his family and all of his herds and his flocks, his whole family, took them out, stoned them, and burned them all. Seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? I don't know. Is that what God told him to do? Because I'm not going to argue with God about it. If you want to argue with God about it, that's between you and God. Just watch where you walk and the ground might open up. I'm only telling you this because I want you to understand we serve a holy and a righteous God, even through Jesus Christ, His Son. His holiness and His righteousness is not diminished. And nor is the expectation that we should honor Him as He has honored us. Only be strong and very courageous. Not just before the world, but even among ourselves. Can I tell you something? Joshua knew when he went across the Jordan to take that land, people weren't going to want to give it up just because they got an eviction notice. Y'all know that's true. Can I get an amen? Somebody say amen. They're not giving it up. Somebody, y'all tell me. They're not giving it up. What happens when you go to someone you know and you tell them they need to get rid of some sin in their life? Do they want to give it up? How far are we willing to walk? How far are we willing to go? How far are we willing to challenge? Are we willing to go as far as God tells us through His words? Because that is the expectation. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If we can stay in the box. A lot of people think we just don't have a box with God anymore. We're free. We're forgiven. We can do whatever we want. The Bible never tells us we can do whatever we want. In fact, it says, oh, what a shame for him who tramples the blood of Christ under their feet, thinking they can just make a mockery of it through the way they live, through the way they talk, the way they love their neighbor or hate their neighbor. How shameful is it for someone to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then walk and trample His blood under feet? How shameful is that? Psalm 27 says this. I want to close with this verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, as a Christian, we are called to live the life that Christ has called us to live. Not just tell people about it. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. He was a good guy. That's not what our Christian life is. Our Christian life is living the pain and the rejection and the scorn and the questions and whatever else the world throws at us. Because the world is not giving up its piece of land. And the people in the world are not giving up their sins. Even in the church, there are people who won't give up their sin. They won't. Because they don't follow God. And it is just that simple. Just that simple. But I'm asking you today, do you know the forgiveness of Christ in your life? Because that's the same love and forgiveness God calls us to live. And to show a world that is dying. You can't light a lamp and set it on a hill and then hide it. It doesn't do any good, does it? How many of you see these light bulbs in our building? They're not on the floor. They're above us to shine light so everything can be seen. And when we show Christ, we should show everything that Christ has called us to show. To love Him. To love Him. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And to love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the two greatest commandments of all. But you have to know the love of Christ before you can share it. And do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Have you been forgiven of sin? If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm inviting you today to come and to find that peace and to know Him and to celebrate and to show the world what living celebration in Christ is all about. Maybe you just need to say, God, I'm not on the straight and narrow right now. I need your help to get back. The altar is open. It's a place to converse with God. You can talk to Him right where you are. Sure you can. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be happy to. And I invite you to come. I invite you to come and to find that new life in Christ. I invite you to come and to experience that life again in Christ, because it's been rejuvenated. It's been reborn, if you will. But I invite you to come and make sure that you are at peace with God through Jesus. While the altar is open, will you come? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You that You have loved us. Lord, that You have done so much for us. You have provided so much for us. You have been so good to us. And Father, I pray that we honor You for Your gifts of love and for caring and for helping. And Lord, I pray we never forget who You are in our life. I pray we are never discouraged or dismayed. I pray we never lose courage or the strength to be who You need us to be. Lord, I don't ask it for us. I ask it for You and for You alone. And I ask it to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.